The following is an exclusive sports presentation of Extra Sports 1300.
Next, I'd like to introduce... Throw your hands in the
air if you're a true player. Southern Colorado, it's time for your live and local sports talk show.
That boy is good.
Good and terrible.
I think you two dudes are going to become real homies.
Where do we find these guys?
Oh, man, I hate those guys.
Here are your hosts, Ryan Kaufman and Chris Braden, with the godfather of Colorado Springs Sports Radio, Wheels.
Good Wednesday to you. Welcome to the show. Ryan, Wheels, Chris, all with you in studio for the next 3 hours. A lot of fun planned. You know, we'll have some laughs, we'll shed some tears, we'll throw fists.
We'll drink some sodas, we'll have some...
All a normal Wednesday for us.
You got the order wrong.
Yeah, that's true.
We'll throw fists and then...
I know Wheels already.
Tears will be shed.
Threaten me.
By two of you.
Right.
By y'all across the way.
Throw fists at this computer with the internet in here is horrendous.
See, you're gonna cry after you do that.
Exactly. I'm crying now and then I'm going to hit it.
The goaltender for the Air Force Falcons, Billy Christopoulos, joins us right now. What was your guys' mentality here over the last few weeks? Because, as you mentioned, everything was just so tight.
Yeah, we were pretty much going into every weekend with the playoff mentality. So we're coming in, we're saying, coming in these playoff series, we're going to be able to need to win two games. Could be on the road, could be at home, but we're going to need to be able to win two games, two out of three. So we're basically treating pretty much all the weekends here in the second half as playoff series, and I think that that kind of attitude of, you know, win or go home has really been paying off for us.
How have you been able to take your game to that proverbial next level? Because it seems like you're on a whole different level.
Yeah, I mean, we had a big off season. A bunch of the guys helped me getting ready. They're always down here. We're doing a lot of training here in the off season in the weight room and everything. And I think it's just kind of built over the course of the season. We started out pretty good there, and we had some rocky patches there. But I've really felt that I've stepped my game the second half up, and it's been awesome because we've all been playing together. Like I've had guys blocking shots like crazy. I looked at the stat sheet after last game, and I see Bogey with 9 block shots, and it's just little things like that. It's unbelievable. Like, the guys are playing hard for each other, for me, which has been great. It's been exciting.
I had to imagine with your talent level, it had to be a little bit frustrating at times last year to not see the ice.
Yeah, I mean, it's definitely frustrating because you go from playing junior hockey, you're playing 60 games, 65, 70 with playoffs, and then you come here and Shane was playing lights out, which was awesome. I was happy for him. So it was tough for a little while there, but I just kept trying to dial it in, practice, and, you know, use every chance I could to keep elevating my game, and just trying to be a good teammate there for Shane, for the guys last year, and I think just kind of battling like that every day in practice really helped me prepare for this year.
How do you keep that mentality going all season long to be that teammate and that guy, knowing that maybe not through the circumstances that happened with Shane leaving, but being confident knowing that you will get your shot at some point?
Yeah, a ton of it had to do with the coaches and the rest of the guys on the team, honestly. Like, they'd pull me in the office all the time, you know, Frank and Joe and Andy, they let me know they notice things. They tell me they see how hard I'm working out there and stuff like that. Like, knowing those guys are watching every little detail and the guys on the team let me know they have faith in me and stuff like that is monumental for me because, you know, without the support of the coaches and the players, it would have been a lot easier to kind of just, you know, go through the motions out there. But having those guys being there and being supportive all of pretty much my freshman and sophomore year was huge.
Your hidden talent, allegedly, is that you can solve a Rubik's Cube. Is that indeed the case?
Oh, yeah. That's when you're playing junior hockey, you have a ton of free time, and you got those long bus rides. So, you know, some guys with their video games, some guys with their books. I just, you know, I picked up Rubik's Cube one day, and I was struggling through it for a whole bus ride. And finally, I was like, all right, I got to figure this thing out. So I picked it up. I started learning got some guys to help me teach me. So now I've got a, I actually have Rubik's Cube competition sometimes with my little sponsor brother here in the Springs, which is pretty funny.
How long did it take you to figure it out?
Oh, man. Whew. I can't even imagine the hours on the bus ride. And then once you finally figure it out, you know, you got to show everybody. You got to be like, hey, you guys want to see me solve this Rubik's Cube? And they're like, no, we've seen you do it 10 times before. It's all right. And you're like, ah, it's all right. I'll show you anyway. So yeah, a lot of hours put into that thing.
You guys play Army. I know you'd like to play him here, but in terms of choosing opponents, I got to say, you'd probably want to play those guys again, no?
Oh, yeah. I mean, you look at the series back in whatever it was, November, and that was pretty frustrating for us to lose two of them here on home ice. So we've really been excited for this weekend, kind of a little payback, and what a bigger stage to do it on, better stage to do it on than playing Army in the playoffs, 2 out of 3. So yeah, we're really excited to play these guys, and we're preparing. We're starting a pre-scout this week and next week. So yep, all the guys are really fired up for this one.
Congrats on the season that you guys have had so far, and best of luck against Army. Can't wait to see what you guys can do there, and then hopefully in Rochester the week after.
Yeah, sounds good. Thanks for having me.
NFL Combine gets underway here in just a couple of days. In a little bit, you'll hear from John Elway. Had some interesting things to say.
Did I tell you we're going to have Rick from the Combine? Friday? Question mark?
They seriously didn't give you any more.
I was leaving, and they're like, so Craig Doman's going to come on and talk Friday, and he has a guy. And I was like, so who is it? And they said Rick. And then they just started talking amongst themselves because obviously they all know Rick. But the radio guy is that's standing at the door does not know Rick.
Rick Grimes from Walking Dead.
Rick Ross.
It could be Rick anything, yeah.
Ricky Schroeder. The problem is that you can only search by last name.
Yeah.
So there's only 300. This may take me a while. Instead, because this is I was inspired yesterday when Eric Galco from the Sporting News and Optimum Scouting joined us, because his latest piece on Optimum Scouting is comparing each combine quarterback to an office character. And I said, we must do something. So I came up with that we would compare the combine quarterbacks to movies.
Yes.
I went with The Departed for Josh Rosen, and here's my reasoning.
Mm.
It's a really good movie, and some people trash it, and I don't know why. Just like I don't understand why anyone is being elevated above Josh Rosen in this draft. He is the best quarterback in the draft. But yet, they're like, he could slip to like 11th, and I just don't get it because it's a great movie. Now, here's the thing. The Departed won Best Picture, and the other nominees were like Pan's Labyrinth and Babel.
Departed is in my top 5 movies of all time. I love that movie.
I will acknowledge that Josh Rosen, this is not like Andrew Luck or Peyton Manning. Josh Rosen is not going to be a top 5 quarterback in the league. But I still think that he's a little bit of a product of who else is in the draft class with him.
Right.
But I feel like he is still very good, can be a top 10 or 12 quarterback in the league. So I say The Departed is Josh Rosen.
That's a good one.
Josh Allen. How about the other Josh?
That one was kind of easy for me when I was going with my Adam Sandler theme. Josh Allen is Happy Gilmore. Happy Gilmore could crush the golf ball, but he could never putt. So, like, he didn't get good until he learned how to putt, and that's kind of, you know, it's funny when we had, what was his name yesterday?
Eric.
Yeah, when we had Eric on, he said he's never seen anyone throw more balls into the stands than Josh Allen, and that's what Happy Gilmore did. I mean, he could do everything except what it took to make money, and after having him on yesterday, I see major red flags with Josh Allen. I'm scared. If the Broncos take him, man, it's going to be a nasty 2-3 years again.
There's a couple different ways to go with Josh Allen, because Josh Allen is a movie that the critics love and we hate. Like, stop trying to force feed us this nonsense because he's not good. We watch the movie and we don't like what we see, but yet the critics, aka the scouts or the GMs, say, oh, it's awesome. Then there's the idea that he has a lot of what you look for, except he has a big hole in his game, and that's the accuracy.
Yeah.
So that's where I went. I went with Back to the Future.
Oh.
Back to the Future is an entertaining movie.
Yeah, I love that.
Good acting, funny, kind of like a something you really haven't seen. It's different, right? It's special. The subject matter, like, there's a lot to love with it.
Yeah.
But there's a huge plot hole in Back to the Future, and I think most people know this by now. The fact that Michael J. Fox's parents, Marty McFly's parents, George and Lorraine, never put two and two together that their son, Marty, looks exactly like Calvin Klein, who is a pivotal character in bringing them together. It's not like they would forget this person. This person is central to their relationship. Yet, when Marty is born and grows up, neither George nor Lorraine raise alarms that he looks exactly like Calvin Klein, especially George. Like, this could mean something serious. Your son looks exactly like this guy that your wife was kind of flirting with during while you were courting her.
I'll just speak as an older person. There's people that were in my life at that age that I know their names, but I can't really, like, I don't remember what.
Okay.
I don't remember what they
Fair look enough. Like. That's fine. But
if they looked like my daughter, I'd be like, oh. And I've said
How about that. The fact that Edward Scissorhands can somehow get, he can't hold anything. He can't even be near a waterbed because he pops it, but yet he's able to procure these big blocks of ice. How is Edward Scissorhands supposed to hang on to the big blocks of ice while he's cutting them?
I don't know.
Or to transport
That's
them.
That's like going deep on me, man.
Maybe.
I love that movie.
I'm just saying, Josh Allen is either a movie that the critics love and audiences hate.
How many times have you done that with scissors?
Try.
You know how it looks like? It's all fast and it's like,
yeah.
Yeah.
It's impossible. Like, you have to get some real strength behind it.
Yeah, no.
So it's either a movie that critics love and audiences hate, or it's a pretty good movie with a giant plot hole in it.
Yes.
Or like how the T-Rex in Jurassic Park comes over the fence, but yet when the vehicle goes over the fence, it's like a 30-foot straight drop. How did the T-Rex get over the 30-foot straight drop?
Because he's bigger.
Perhaps.
That's all.
All right. I'll let you pick which one you want to go next.
So Lamar Jackson for me going with my Adam Sandler theme. It's funny because Lamar Jackson, Heisman Trophy winner, man, people loved him, and now it's draft time for Lamar Jackson, and nobody is like, he's not moving up the boards like you think he would. So I went 51st dates because I feel like people love Lamar Jackson, but they don't want to commit to him. They just want to date. They just want to hang out with Lamar Jackson. They don't want to make him their heir apparent quarterback, their franchise QB.
I will take with Lamar Jackson. I go the opposite of Josh Allen. Lamar Jackson is fast and furious. Why is he fast and furious? Because people love Fast and Furious.
Yeah, that movie's awesome.
The original, right? Original is really good.
Yeah.
Critics hate it. They take it apart. And maybe it's not a great movie, but it has the elements to get better. Lamar Jackson has escapability. He has a rocket arm.
Yes.
There are some pieces there that you say, I don't know, he's like 6'3".
Okay. For some reason, he looks small, maybe because he's so fast.
Right. So he's not the best movie ever, but he's entertaining.
I could watch it. I could watch it for 2 hours.
And the rest of the Fast and Furious movies, they actually got better as far as the critics are concerned. But the critics, scouts hate Lamar Jackson.
I know. It's weird, right?
Bill Polian hates Lamar Jackson.
Sam Darnold is the wedding singer for me. Sam Darnold's so hard. Like, there's nothing exciting about that guy. So he's basically like a wedding singer. He could never be a headliner. He makes his money on the weekends.
I thought you wanted Sam Darnold.
I do, but like, he is boring.
I like Sam Darnold to be Boiler Room.
That's a good one.
Like, at the time, you know, you watch it and you're like, this isn't that great. But then you watch it again and you watch it again and you're like, it's actually really good. Boiler Room is actually a really good movie.
I like that.
That you should watch tonight. Joined by Grant Meach of KOAA5.
What's your best story from the Olympics this year?
Well, I think the easiest one was the U.S. women's hockey team was just outstanding in what they did. They had a goal. They had the talent. They actualized it and they realized it. Good for them. And it gives us something to cheer for. That one was a number one because I think even casual hockey fans stood up, stayed up, got excited about, you know, women's hockey, despite the fact that, you know, the puck dropped at, gosh, what, almost 9:30?
I was asleep.
Yeah, exactly. So that was really cool. One thing I did take away from it was USA is really good at certain sports, and then we're not very good at a lot of other sports. Like, we used to be really good at speed skating. Apparently,
yeah,
we're not very good anymore.
We're not good at figure skating on the ladies' side either.
We're not good at figure skating anymore. Or all of a sudden, we're not good at figure skating. You know, but then we go out and win a gold medal in cross country. I don't know, maybe we're trash at biathlon. I didn't see. But we're really good at snowboarding.
Yeah.
We're really good at, like, slope-style cool bro stuff.
That was awesome.
We're good at downhill skiing.
Yes.
We're good at women's hockey. I think we overthought our men's hockey team.
I'll agree with you.
I think, looking back, they should have just gone with, truly, I'm not putting this blame on Tony Granata because there's a lot of people involved in putting together that roster, but I think if you look back on it, obviously hindsight is what it is, but I think if they had another shot, I think if they had filled that roster with nothing but college kids, I think they make a deeper run than they made.
They do. What's your take? Like, for us in our household, Chloe Kim won the Olympics.
Didn't that seem very, I don't know, this is going to sound mean, but I don't really care.
Right.
Didn't that seem kind of fabricated? Like, all
Maybe.
Of a sudden, Chloe Kim was, like, this amazing... I mean, she was an interesting story going into it, but nobody really knew if she was going to actualize her potential, and she did. And then overnight, boom, she's all over social media.
Yep.
She's trending. She's cool. Everybody's, you know, the Chloe Kim army. Maybe it was a true grassroots thing, and I just wasn't a part of it. Kind of like Shaun White. Like, I wasn't really on the Shaun White train, but everybody else was, and it was sort of overnight, like Shaun White became this amazing human being, and I was like, oh, wow, okay. So
now that the Vikings seem to be in on Kirk Cousins, do the Broncos need to look elsewhere for a quarterback?
No, I think the Broncos need to continue to pursue Kirk Cousins. I don't like that there's this attitude that, oh, well, the Vikings have now made room for Kirk Cousins. Everyone else can back off. That's not, no. This is the NFL. It is a dog-eat-dog businessman trying to measure themselves with each other to get the best roster. It's about money. Yes, it's about winning. Yes, it's about the best place to win. But it's about money. And don't think for a second that the Broncos won't try and make that move to get some cap space and make him come in. John Elway will not let his general manager legacy be thrown further into the dumpster by missing on another quarterback.
No.
Now, that being said, it's going to be more competitive now. That's definitely what's going on because the Vikings are realizing that they made it to the NFC Championship game. They're a talented bunch. They just need a little something extra. I frankly think they had it with Case Keenum, but what do I know?
Right.
They're going to go after Cousins. The Broncos are going to go after Cousins. Look, it was 2 weeks ago that the Jets were reportedly going to write him a blank check. So everybody's going to be pursuing this guy. They're going to have a backup plan. Maybe it's Baker Mayfield. Sounds like maybe Ryan Tannehill might be an option now. I don't see that happening. But they're going to have a backup plan. But I don't like that there's just that we're just giving up, like, oh, the Vikings have him. It's fine. Move on to the next one. No, they're going to keep fighting, and they're going to get something out of it, and they're going to go down swinging trying to get Kirk Cousins. Elway will not let this happen again. Not on his watch.
Not on my watch.
Joining us now is the head coach of the Tigers, Mike Haviland. Friday versus Saturday. Mm-hmm. Another much better. We saw the team that we all think you guys are on Saturday. But Friday, do you notice a trend, or is every weekend different with this team?
Well, I would say our Saturdays were way better, and I see a trend of, when we – if we do lose a game, we have tremendous response and bounce back. We're trying different things to prepare certain ways, and you go into North Dakota, you win Friday night. So, you played well against Miami at home Friday night. So it just has been, the trying to get them to put six periods in a row together is something that is really what we're talking about, and not waiting and to get on our heels and have to come in the next day and have everybody, showing video and making adjustments to what we didn't do. And a lot of it is just our compete and our mental state.
Al Lix has played the vast majority of this season. How nice was it to be able to go to Alec and be able to depend on him in for him to keep you guys in that game, keep you guys in the game Friday, but then also play extremely well on Saturday and allow you guys to get a point?
Yeah, I thought he played well the whole weekend, and that's why we went with him. I mean, he's come in relief for Clarkie, and Clarkie's played great all year for us, and again, he's had his struggles on Friday night a little bit too, and I think we felt as a staff that Cal Veruso, his work ethic and what he's done, and that he deserved to go in on Saturday, and we thought he played outstanding, and he got the player of the game from our players, and that's a great honor to get, and in that room, and certainly he was well deserved of that. So for me, it shows that, I thought the kid, Cal Veruso, played well against Duluth before he got injured, and so it's nice to see, we have two goaltenders, and I think for them to push each other all the time is only going to make both of them better.
Have you decided who will be the Friday starter? Are you going
not
back
yet.
Down?
Not okay. yet.
Okay, fair enough. Mike Haviland joining us here on Drive Time Sports. So I mentioned at the top, there's so much jockeying for position for four through the bottom of the NCHC. Do you discuss that at all with your players, or is that something that you guys keep amongst the coaches and between you and I?
About the positioning? We talk about it all the time with them. I think you're... here we are, Ryan, in the last week of the season, and it hasn't happened, in a long time, especially when we've joined this conference, and even before I got here, that we were down to the last weekend to have a chance to jockey for position, and it's a good feeling to have. It's, you hold your own destiny, we feel, and it's at home, so it is something we talk about, and I did on Monday, I did yesterday, I'm going to do it again today, tomorrow. I mean, we have so much on the line here, and have a chance to maybe to get a home ice, and if not, finish fifth, and in this conference, which is extremely hard to do. I mean, I know fifth isn't what everybody expects, and nobody here does, but it's extremely hard to do when you're looking at teams like a Western Michigan who has all years basically been in the top 10 until the last little stretch here, and now they find themselves on the outside looking in.
What from that previous series would you like to bring into this weekend?
Well, I think we competed extremely hard against them, and you have to. They're a hard-working hockey team, and Andy's teams always are, and you're going to have to battle for every inch of the ice, and I think they're going to play desperate. We have to play desperate too, and You know, so what I would take is I want to see our compete the way it was when we were there. I mean, both games went to overtime, and we got one, and they got one. But I loved the way we competed there and battled. You know, we need to have that same mentality this weekend, you know, and play with that same desperation this weekend.
We'll talk to you tomorrow at 3:00.